being market leader is very important.
The fundamental thing is we employ bright and capable people.
It's about being the best in the markets we want to be in.
I'm David Hatcher, Head of News and Finance at EG, and I'm here joined by Savills' quasi-new management team, new management structure, Mark Ridley, James Sparrow and Richard Rees. Guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, David, for inviting us.
So I guess, first off, it's best to explain what changes are being made and what's the new structure. Mark?
Okay. Well, from May the 1st, James Sparrow will be taking over my role as head of the UK.
Congratulations, James.
Thank you very much.
He doesn't know what he's in for. and from September, he will also take on the combined role of Europe. I will maintain that role until September. And because the business has grown so significantly during the 11 years that I maintained that role, 4 years as a combined, we've decided that we would create a new role as UK Managing Director for Richard to make sure, because it really sort of matches the scale and growth of the business, to ensure that we are, you know, looking at the next level of growth, which certainly we're ambitious to fulfil.
And guys, how will you make sure that you're kind of not overlapping? How do those that divide up, kind of practically speaking, the CEO, MD role, how will that work?
Well, the way we see it working, as Mark has said, the business has grown so much in the last 10 years, there is a need to have some more than one person in terms of managing the business. And the way we see the roles unfolding is my role as chief executive will be very much around setting the strategy for the business and the direction for the business. And I will work closely with Richard in terms of the implementation of that strategy. But Richard's more focused on the delivery of the strategy.
Yeah, I think that's right. So my role will be very much around implementing the strategy throughout the UK, trying to bind our clients and all the people who work for Savills together, and really providing some glue to keep the business growing going forward.
So almost like a COO style role to some extent.
In part, although we have a COO role, which is a separate role. It's very much about understanding what our clients' needs are, I think, and actually making sure that the services we provide to them are really what they want.
So the man who's leaving us is Jeremy Helsby.
Not yet,
but this is the start of the grand departure.
A couple of things. I mean, I'm taking on the role from May the 1st as Deputy Group Chief Executive to support Jeremy, and making sure I understand, you know, the parts of the business I'm less familiar with, you know, over that period. So Jeremy maintains his role until the end of the year, but also on top of that, he will also have a continuing role with Savills, which I'm very, very keen to see him help me with, especially with the American business that he was obviously figureheading the acquisition of that. And also he has worked in the States as well, so the relationships that he carries in the States are very important to us to continue that growth. So yeah, not disappearing into the distance.
So whilst this isn't about kind of dedications and tributes to him, what do you think that the business will miss and in terms of and what he's kind of given to it over incredible 39 years, is that right?
Yes, it is, absolutely. I mean, an incredible growth story. Look, I mean, when Jeremy joined it, and indeed even when I joined it, we weren't even an international business. We are now a global business, so it's an enormous achievement. And he brings very much passion, determination, but also, you know, he's always been focused on the clients, which is absolutely critical, providing that best quality service. So I think you'll get a lot more of the same, because, you know, we have the same passion around this table. Definitely we share that passion, and also the ambition to continue the growth story. So that's something that we will make sure, you know, is a good legacy for Jeremy. Obviously the market's changed, so we will need to adapt our strategy to suit the market conditions. And that's very important as well. So it would never be the same, but it'll be more of the same. Equally, I think the UK and European DNA, which we grew out of, now we have a fantastic Asian business complemented by a great US business. So again, that whole change has occurred. But, you know, as an original UK business to become a global business alongside our competitors has been a great achievement of Jeremy's.
So as a sort of a management trio kind of sitting here, how would you say that your styles or leadership compare, contrast, or and complement James?
Well, I think we are all very different. For a start, I'm very tall and the other two are very short.
but with more hair, I think.
Just wanted to emphasise that point.
Luckily, it has different attributes.
Yeah. Lucky it's a podcast, isn't it?
To start with. But actually, in terms of our strengths and our sort of where our skills lie, I mean, I think certainly for me, hopefully, I can bring clarity of thought and terms and being decisive. And also, very much my role in the last 5 years has very much been around strategy and growth. And I think that my strengths are in that area. Whereas Richard is very much focused on the more operational side of the business, which I think is why the roles will work so well together.
I think part of our background is different as well. Much as we both worked for the business for a very long period of time, nearly 30 years, both of us, I think it's really important to have an understanding of the regional business as well. I worked in our Bath and Bristol offices for nearly 20 years, so I have a real deeply ingrained understanding of the strength and depth of our business across the UK. More than 130 offices across the UK. So those people within our business and our clients around the country want to understand that we understand what they want.
And David, you'll know this from my Manchester experience. I mean, I think there is a real passion to make sure that we are a national business joined up in the UK. And we think that gives us, you know, great benefit, providing that sort of local expertise on the ground in those locations linked to a national team approach, and obviously now a global linked business. That's our USP in a way, and that's why we have so many offices with so many experts on the ground.
And, you know, picking up on that regional theme, you know, where I know it's, to some extent, you don't want to broad brush every city altogether, but people talk about the London versus the regions dynamic. Would you say that the regions are on the up at the moment, or are you saying that they're kind of in a more sort of resilient phase, Richard?
I think they're on the up, actually. I think I was in our Birmingham office the other day. We invested in a business called GBR Phoenix Beard, which is more than double the size of our office. We built a fantastic new office. And talking to the clients on the ground, they feel very confident in the HS2 story and Commonwealth Games, and really the drive and energy, which I think is reflective of many other cities and towns across the UK as well. So I would perceive that the regions are definitely on an upwards graph.
Yeah, and I think in sector-wise, David, both in terms of residentially, commercially, you know, the volumes are at a high level in the regions, and actually some of the price differentials that we've been talking about, you know, they are stable. So I think, you know, it's good for growth for the future.
And certainly, I think from our point of view, speaking to investors in MIPIN and investors in London in the last few weeks, one of the things that comes through again and again is whilst London continues to be very attractive for investors, what's also happening is there's more and more interest in the regions, and I think that certainly our ability to respond to that from a client's perspective is key. And when asked about the sort of growth strategy for the business, it's very much building on that platform, which we think is one of our USPs.
Just picking up on the GBR and regional type stuff, obviously that was a business that you bought that was very successful. Are you still on the lookout for opportunities such as that?
We always are, but actually over the short term, I think it's really about embedding the other big strategic acquisition which we've carried out was SmithScore, which is a major rural business, and going back to understand how we grow our regional businesses. I think if you look at what's happened in the retail sector, the significant changes in the retail sector has resulted in a huge growth in logistics and need for big sheds. And I think we're pretty uniquely placed now to have a business that understands and manages a lot of greenfield rural sites in strategic locations that can get planning and deliver some sheds and some major facilities right the way through that process, which I think is a really exciting opportunity for us and our clients.
Absolutely. I think kind of at times like this, it's always interesting to sort of take a step back. And, you know, what I'd be interested to know what you think sort of outside perception is of what Savills means as a business. What are its strengths? What do you think people identify with Savills as a brand, you know, market leader in X, Y or Z?
Okay, well, I'd love to ask you that question, David, but let me answer it. I think, you know, obviously we had in historical times, we had a name which was synonymous with high-end residential. People knew us from that in terms of profile. But of course, the commercial business has grown considerably further than our residential business. We've kept our market share and grown our market share at the top end. So I think people now understand us to be a multi-sector business. And again, the fact that we do all things across all sectors is very important to us, because all the sectors combine and interlink. You know, people who invest in real estate, use real estate, they want to know our expertise across those sectors. So that's been a definitive piece, and you know, Smith Scorer as an acquisition was one of those pieces. So I think they would regard us, and I hope they would regard us as being multi-sector. People know that we are now also an international and global business as a platform. And that's going to be the continuation of that theme. We're not negative or in any way embarrassed by being really good at estate agency. It's a really important part of our business and will remain so internationally as well as nationally. But I think the fact is the Savills brand does provide, I hope, you know, that quality. And it's down to the people. At the end of the day, you know, as much as the brand is powerful, you know, the most important thing about it is made by the people that provide services to our clients. And if we provide the best quality service, then the brand will maintain its strength.
And I think in terms of people's perception of Savills, I think it's a very important point. I think one of the things that people do perceive Savills to be is free-spirited and entrepreneurial, and we're rather proud of that, and we believe that is absolutely the case. But also, I think there has been a perception historically in some cases that we're quite hard-nosed and that perhaps there's a lack of teamwork, and that's something that's has definitely changed enormously in the last 10 years. And certainly when you speak to people who join Savills 6 months later, one of the things that comes back is just how good the teamwork is. So I think that's a bit of a myth, but certainly the free spirit and the entrepreneurial nature of our business is key to us. And I think the market perceives us in that way.
How do you make that stuff about teamwork happen in reality? I mean, it's one of those things that everybody strives for, but actually making it happen is quite hard. It's quite an intangible thing. What have you kind of tangibly done, and how's that evolved?
Don't forget, that's our secret. Don't tell him.
I'll tell you a bit.
I mean, I think the probably the biggest change that we made, Dave, and you were well aware of this in the past. We went into a divisional basis, a national divisional basis. So all the teams sitting in all of those offices we talked about earlier all feel linked, you know, in their discipline, in their area of business. And actually, that's what the clients want. The clients want to know that they're going to get the same linked service, level of service across any markets they're looking at in any locations. So we did that, and that allowed us then to have a national strategy. It's subsequently now linked into our European strategy. So the teams that sit within our European context also work cross-border. And I think that is, they build the relationships, build the knowledge, but most importantly, provide the best quality service for our clients, because that's the way the clients look at it. So I think that is a key point, knowing each other, working together in that sort of structure. And I think also making sure that the expectation of the company is that. They understand that's how we want them to operate within it and be friends and have those relationships. I think also making sure that we remunerate to reflect that, and most importantly that people understand it's that sort of behaviour we want to encourage. So we've put all of those pieces in place in that structure, and it has really worked to great effect.
I think the fundamental thing is we employ bright and capable people, and I think one of the most important things is we give them freedom and autonomy to invent themselves on that platform. And in the current marketplace and the way that prop tech and artificial intelligence is coming forward, they have to collaborate to give the best possible advice to the clients.
In terms of sectors, is there any specifics that you'd like to improve? Not say that you've got particular weaknesses in, but anywhere, any particular targets over the next sort of couple of years, thinking we'd really like to grow our presence in X or Y market?
In the UK?
Yeah, in the UK in the first instance.
Well, I think, as we've said, I think we have a strong platform in the UK, but certainly speaking to investors, alternatives, which are increasingly, of course, not alternatives at all, they become prime investment classes. But we've got strong businesses in things like the private residential sector, the student sector, the healthcare sector. We are expanding our businesses in those areas, and we're certainly seeking to continue to do so. And I think another key area for us moving forward is definitely logistics, because certainly that's where investors are looking.
I think I'd probably add to that, in terms of the UK housing crisis, we're uniquely placed to try and help understand and feed that with a combination of our property management business, both commercial and residentially, our development, a very strong development business, and a very strong planning business. So we believe that we can actually produce some significant supply of potential housing units, both for PRS and open market housing, and indeed for affordable housing going forward.
And in Europe, Mark, obviously you had the Aguero-Newman deal last year, which it would be great to talk about. Last year or earlier this year?
It was end of last year.
End of last year, just about. So it'd be interesting to know how that's gone so far, and then, you know, on the European side, how you've integrated things.
Well, look, I mean, I think, you know, in some of the markets, we had great people, great teams, but we were subscale compared with where we wanted to be. And obviously, you know, to have something like an Aguero-Newman acquisition was very, very important to us in Spain, and it's made us market leading in virtually every sector across Spain now, and that's really, really powerful. Not just Spain, also Iberia, because we've got a great Portuguese business as part of that as well. So, you know, being market leader is very important in some of those sectors. And I would say now in Europe we have many market leading teams in many of those countries. You know, carrying on the theme about logistics, you know, logistics is perhaps not as mature in some of those markets as the UK. And I think there's an enormous growth around that, you know, across those markets. We will also look at new markets. We opened, you know, recently in Utrecht. We've opened in the Czech Republic recently. So you'll see us doing a combination of organic growth where we strengthen our bench strength of our teams, increase the number of sectors that they cover, but also making sure they link together as part of that cross-border initiative. So I think I can see that. I think also that residentially, you know, we're expanding our footprint in many markets residentially, or mixed use is probably the best way to call it. And we will combine that in many of those locations as well.
Do you think, obviously we've seen some real mega mergers in the kind of advisory world. Do you see it becoming possible that one day that you guys could be part of that kind of M&A with a sort of comparatively sized business?
I think the fact, let me answer it in two different ways. One, do I think we can do the growth ourselves? Absolutely. That's what we've always done. So, you know, to be honest, I think that's by far the most likely approach we will take, continue to grow our business globally, because there's so much opportunity for us. And provided we keep the core, we keep the absolute the DNA of the Savills business very much alive and kicking, I think that's where we'll end up. So, you know, I look at those mergers, I see those mergers. Sometimes they're done for convenience, sometimes they're done for, you know, many other reasons apart from providing the service to the clients or the people. And I think, I think the very strong likelihood is we'll continue to row our own boat. Look, where we can look at, you know, things like Aguero-Newman, where we find a market-leading business, then of course we will look at that as a strategic acquisition and a merger of our teams in the location. But I think you'll see that us continuing to do that over the next 5 years because there's so much opportunity for us.
Sure. I mean, you guys, I think we talk about the much maligned marzipan layer. I think you're well above the marzipan layer, but maybe you're not as big as the uber big two. You don't feel under pressure to be the biggest?
No, not at all. We never have, David. I think the point is it's about being the best in the markets we want to be in, and that is absolutely fundamental. Yes, you've got to be a global player, and so that growth will continue, and that's, you know, that's where we are. And look, we're in the top five globally, and we're, you'd say, the only UK listed business in the top five. Everything else is either Canadian or American. So we're very proud with that position, and I see, you know, the growth to continue. And, you know, if you take the UK, we've had, you know, we've doubled in size in 5 years. We've increased our market exposure in so many markets where you might have thought we're more mature, but we're not. You know, we're continuing to grow that, and I see enormous opportunity for us across Asia, Middle East, again in North America and in Canada. So, you know, it's really exciting for us to be taking this on. Obviously, UK, I would say, I've got two of the most celebrated and capable individuals here.
You have to say that because
of course I do. Of course I do.
They're listening.
I'll tell you the truth later. But no, truly, so I think the UK also will continue to see that growth as well. So I don't want to, despite the Brexit winds that are blowing on our shores today, particularly today, you know, I really do see that the growth in the UK as well as part of that equation. So, you know, there's enormous there. I'd finally just mention, because it will be part of my brief from next year, that we obviously have our Savills Investment Management business, which has also now become a global business, you know, operating in many, many markets across the world.
And having a good run at the start of this year in the UK as well.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. So, you know, to me, that's, you know, obviously looking at that growth alongside our consultancy business is also an enormous opportunity.
I just wanted to talk about something a bit more conceptual, I suppose, to some extent, which is kind of looking forwards over the next few years. How do you think the role of the property advisor will change and evolve? Inevitably, tech comes into this largely, but it seems, with particularly where we've seen some areas of the market coming under a bit of large amounts of competition, should we say, for relatively smaller amounts of work. Advisors are really having to prove their worth, with margins are sometimes being squeezed. How do you see the role of the advisor changing and evolving in terms of what clients want and how you get ahead of that, James?
Well, it's a very good question, and certainly the role is evolving. I mean, I think the starting point from our point of view is to say that we see tech as an opportunity rather than a threat. I think that's the first thing. There's an awful lot being talked about at the moment. From our point of view, if we take our residential business, for example, where there's obviously the online platforms that exist, what we found, in fact, probably because we're operating at the top end of the market, is that our business so far hasn't been majorly impacted by tech. And in fact, what's happened in the last 12 months in more difficult markets is there's been a flight to quality, and our residential business has actually done extremely well as a consequence and taken more market share. Notwithstanding that, we can see that tech is here to stay, and we see the future as very much a combination of people and technology. And if you can combine them both, then your businesses will be successful. And certainly, Savills, we are continuing to invest in technology across all of our business. And I think something that Richard and I will be working very closely on.
I think if you look across the UK business, we have a prop tech group which tries to harness all the ideas from all parts of the business, from every age and every experience. It's really quite exciting because artificial intelligence and robots will actually allow us to gather more data more quickly. And it's really for us as an industry to respond to that challenge and provide the analysis on top of that data, using the data to provide a better advice to our clients.
Are there any things that you've integrated and started using kind of in the last year or two that have started to illustrate that change?
Well, I think probably the Work There platform which we've created is a really good example. You're probably aware of it. But so Callie, who had been probably qualified for 2 or 3 years, put forward a Dragon's Den ideas group, so put forward the proposition to provide a platform for users of space, flexible space, co-working space, to understand how they select their space. And it's really zoomed on right across the UK and now to many other countries as well.
Fantastic. I mean, one thing that we can't fail to mention is that we're sort of all four men speaking, and we're looking at a management group that's all male. Knight Frank had it perhaps most strikingly with their new management board that was 100% male as well. I'd be interested to know what you guys are looking at doing in terms of addressing gender pay gap, which has obviously been highlighted as a major problem in the industry sort of earlier this year.
Well, I'm going to start just talking about, actually, dare I say it, the gender gap in the property industry, and then I can perhaps hand over then to Richard and James to talk about some of the initiatives we're undertaking. But look, there is a historic gap in the industry, and attracting more female talent into the property industry is fundamental to the health and of the property industry as a whole. So that's something that we're absolutely passionate about doing. And certainly we've got to make sure that the knowledge of the property industry is pushed down at school level to ensure that people want to choose a career in property and can attract people into property as early as possible. I'm pleased to say that we are, Savills, certainly in the UK, our statistics are good in terms of actually looking at bringing in talent, and Richard and James will give you those in a sec. But I think it's also making sure that we then make sure that they stay within the Savills environment, graduate through that environment and take on top level roles. And I'm very confident we have those people in our business which will take on those board roles, including my role in the future.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, Mark, I think the first thing I would say is that we absolutely accept it's not right and that we've got work to do. And that's very much at the forefront of our minds moving forward. What I would say is I think we need to differentiate the gender pay gap issue, in so much as we are confident that people doing the same jobs in the same roles at Savills are paid the same amount. The issue, as Mark has said, is simply the senior women in the business. Now, we made great progress. Savile was over 50% of our employees are women. And on a recruitment basis, when we recruit graduates, again, it's on a 50-50 basis between men and women. Not because we artificially create that, because that is just the way the system works. But notwithstanding that, we know absolutely that we've got further work to do. And we've got some specific initiatives in play to try and help that, Richard.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's very clear it has to be a meritocracy, but we have to re-support women in the business going forward. This year, 41% of the people made up to director were women in our promotion round desk now in March. Which is very strong, and what we've found is over the past 3 years we've really worked to improve the maternity work, the maternity coaching pre and post having children, and provide much more flexibility and support going forward, and that's massively increased the number of returners to work from something which was very low to nearly 95% this year. So we're really proud of that program. But as James says, there's lots of work to be done. And the analysis and the understanding that we have from speaking to some of our great women in the business is that they mostly want more flexibility in how they work. They want more IT support at home, and they want more coaching and encouragement from all of us in the business. So there is an industry challenge, but we're responding to it, and we've got lots to do.
Fantastic. Well, great. Thank you very much for joining us, guys, and wish you all the very best in your new roles.